From Decrypt Media, this is the Decrypt Daily. My name is Matthew Diemer. Today on the show, we talk to the president of FTX.us, Brett Harrison. That and crypto prices today on the Decrypt Daily.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
And I'm recording this at 7:09 a.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, super early in the morning. You're probably like, wow, how is this in my feed already? It's because I woke up super early to get this done so I can catch a flight. Let's take a look at those crypto prices. We have Bitcoin sitting at $44,948, down 3.5% in 24. I don't know what happened. Looked at the market today and I was just like, whoa, I looked at all the markets. I'll figure that out later, or at least try to figure it out. Ethereum's at $3,315, down 5.6%. Tether is number three. Binance Coin is $435.26, down 4.4%, and USDC is number five. Rounding off the top 10, we have Solana, Terra Luna, XRP, Cardano, and Avalanche. The whole market is red. Total market cap, we're at $2.07 trillion, a BTC dominance of 41.3, and an ETH dominance of 19.3. And we're going to get straight into our interview today where we talk to, again, Brett Harrison, the president of FTX.us. I'll be back tomorrow with a normal show, but I have to pack and get to the airport. Enjoy. Brett Harrison, president of FTX.us. How you doing, sir? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, doing well. How are you?
I'm excellent. Excellent. Really quick, before we get started, tell me a little bit about FTX.us. You guys have been around. You guys are a trusted exchange, but I need to know the origin stories.
Sure. So backing up, FTX, as you guys know, is a global cryptocurrency and cryptocurrency derivatives exchange. It's been around for about 3 years and slowly crept its way up to being the second or third largest exchange in the world by volume. But it operated everywhere except for the US because of licenses required to be able to operate cryptocurrency services in the United States. So around, I guess at the end of 2020, FTX launched a separate company called FTX US, with the goal of building out a US regulated business for first trading spot cryptocurrencies. So at the beginning of 2021, we had something like 10,000 clients and $1 million a day in volume. At the end of 2021, we had 1.2 million clients and around $300 million a day in spot volume. So we grew a ton in a very short period of time. We're sort of the Cinderella in the US compared to a lot of the larger incumbents that have been around for almost a decade. But I guess what's really exciting for us is that in the end of 2021, we acquired a company called LedgerX, which is a CFTC regulated derivatives exchange and clearinghouse. Since we ran that to FTX US Derivatives, and we have an application with the CFTC right now to be able to offer margin on those derivatives products. So when we have that, we'll basically be able to offer like pretty considerable product suite to US customers that's somewhat similar to what overseas exchanges have been able to do outside the US.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, can you go a little bit deeper on the LedgerX and the CFTC and what's the relationship and how they'll work with the margin derivatives trading? We've had Sam on the show, I think, three times already. We've actually mentioned the LedgerX acquisition on the show, but we didn't go into depth. If you could just go into a little deeper.
Sure. So in the US, there are two main market regulators. There's the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, and the CFTC, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Bitcoin futures and options exist already on the CME, on ICE, on a few other places like LedgerX. And those are regulated by the CFTC because Bitcoin and Ether are regulated as commodities and derivatives on them, futures and options, are regulated by the CFTC. So in order to be able to offer a derivative product to customers in the US, to not to institutions over the counter, but to individual retail customers, that those trades have to take place on what's called a designated contract market or a DCM. And they have to clear at a place called a DCO, a derivatives clearing organization. And both of these licenses take quite a long time to obtain from scratch. The DCM probably takes around 2 years and the DCO around 5 years. And so through the acquisition of LedgerX, we were able to get these licenses in a much shorter time frame, with the goal of being able to actually integrate that with our spot platform. Because a lot of the reason why so much of the volume and derivatives trades overseas and not in the US, for example, on the CME, is because the CME doesn't let you trade spot Bitcoin and Bitcoin futures in the same place, which is so important for being able to have a capital efficient portfolio.
So that's very interesting. So just the acquisition of a company that has the DCM, DCR licenses already will incorporate that into your existing corporation, and then you'll be able to roll out these new products.
Yep. And I think the one extra nuance there is that currently LedgerX or FTX Derivatives has the ability to go direct to customer, but not with margin, meaning that you have to fully collateralize your position. If you want to trade one Bitcoin future, you have to put up one Bitcoin, which is not super interesting for people right now. The reason people trade derivatives is for capital efficiency. So we have a very large application in with the CFTC, which is now out for public comment, for people to be able to use margin on FTX US derivatives. And so not have to put up the full value of the trade in order to trade it, to get some leverage.
And what kind of leverage are you guys talking about here? Are we talking about 10x, or were you talking all over to 100x leverage?
No. Yeah. So on the CME right now, I think the initial margin is something like 38%. And we would hope to be able to beat that. But no, we're going to hope to offer, you know, a responsible amount of leverage, given that our risk model is the first ever in the US that is 24/7 in real time. So right now, the CME, the risk model evaluates, you know, once per day in terms of initial margin levels, and only 5 days a week and not on weekends or holidays. We are 24/7 every 30 seconds, which greatly decreases the possible risk in the system. And so we're hoping we're going to be able to offer lower initial margin requirements.
So actually, this bridges straight into, you know, my, I guess, more of a 101 question about regulation and, I guess, customer comfort or security. The question is that there's still a lot of question about regulation of how exchanges are going to operate, what coins can be listed, what are securities in I guess, the ethos of cryptocurrency, when things aren't really as cut and dry as, say, a company, right? Or stocks or so on and so forth. I guess my question is, what do you think the future is of the crypto exchange? And how much confidence can a new customer that went through the whole KYC AML process, registered for FTX.us, buys their first Bitcoin, is hodling it maybe on their exchanges or just counting on that exchange to be there for liquidity in the future if they ever want to take some profits or so on and so forth? How much confidence do they have that regulation won't just, I guess, wipe out this platform?
Yeah, it's a really good question. We are certainly in a regulatory gray area right now. Not many people know this, but exchanges in the US for crypto are regulated under FinCEN, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, as money service businesses, which is sort of like MoneyGram. And thinking of a crypto exchange like MoneyGram is a little bit strange. Sort of like the money that comes in and out, fiat crypto, that sort of makes sense. But the millions of transactions happening on a real-time order book, that's the part that usually has oversight from a federal markets regulator like the SEC or the CFTC. Think about like NASDAQ or the CME. But there's no clear jurisdictional oversight over crypto or spot crypto. Remember, there's crypto futures or securities, but the thing in the middle, this sort of spot commodity product or spot crypto product, is a thing that doesn't yet have clear oversight. And so we are operating in this gray area where one of the most important consequences of this lack of clarity is on what we can and cannot list. So FTX US compared to its competitors lists like maybe an order of magnitude fewer tokens. And that is because we're not sure where regulation is going to end up in terms of, you know, what tokens are allowed to be listed or not allowed to be listed. Will exchanges receive enforcement actions for listing certain tokens that are deemed to be securities later? So we have something like 25, 28 tokens on our exchange. Some of our competitors are listing hundreds. And on one hand, this disappoints a lot of our users. On the other hand, I think that we're trying to go a different path, which is to distinguish ourselves with our licenses and our approach to regulation. So I don't know where this is going to end up, you know, in the next 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. If I had to guess, it would be some kind of joint jurisdiction between the CFTC and the SEC to create some joint oversight regime.
You know, that's interesting. That's interesting. So just to summarize what you just said, FTX.us is listing less tokens, even than, say, competitors, Coinbase, Binance.us. And so
far fewer than those two.
Far fewer. In order to kind of hedge against the risk that you will pose to your customers. So saying if you have, I don't know, X, Y, or Z token, whatever, that could be looked at as a security, not be able to be offered in the United States or to US customers or registered customers of your platform or these platforms. You don't want to be in that situation where you have to delist something and then tell everybody, hey, you have no more liquidity.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so the one time this happened in our history was with XRP, where we did list XRP a long time ago. And then immediately the case dropped, and then we immediately delisted it. But we really don't want to see ourselves in that position again. But moreover, you know, what's actually important when thinking about what to list? I think we sometimes get caught up in the whole, like, what is a security and what's not. But the most important thing is, what disclosures and information would be required to give investors confidence about the investment decisions they make. And I think if we just irresponsibly list lots of tokens where it's unclear if these tokens are just going to, like, go to zero tomorrow, we don't really know who the team is, we don't know what the roadmap is, then I think we're not doing a good service to our customers. We want to list very, very high quality projects with, you know, very clear roadmaps, with very clear utility in terms of, for example, it's used as some sort of fee paying in a network, it's used for applications. You know, these are the kinds of things we want to make sure we're providing to our customers, not like paw to call. So right. We want to make sure that we're doing the right thing.
Question about the operations of this. You said that crypto exchanges are, the oversight for crypto exchanges are from FinCEN. Is that for all of exchanges? Is that for, like, say, Robinhood or E-Trade or eToro and all these other kinds of places to buy cryptocurrency that maybe not allows you to have your private keys or what have you? Is it the same oversight? Is there different oversights for, like, say, Robinhood's crypto assets and then their traditional stocks?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually don't know a ton about Robinhood's crypto program. I would assume they need to have the same oversight as we do. They need the money transmission licenses. They need to be regulated under FinCEN as an MSB. And then they route those orders not to exchanges, but to individual market makers who are market making in crypto. I think E-Trade, or at least Interactive Brokers, is different because they basically just route orders to another entity where that other entity is the one that's regulated by FinCEN. So gotcha. It sort of depends. The traditional brokerage side of the business, you know, for stocks and options and things like that, those are regulated as broker dealers, not as exchange. And those are under, you know, FINRA and the SEC. So there's sort of a well-defined path there. What makes crypto interesting is, one, that the assets aren't very clearly defined as to what sort of, like, asset class bucket they fall into. The second is that crypto exchanges are not just brokers. They're custodians for assets. They're the actual order book. They're the exchange. So it's a full stack product. Doesn't really exist in the traditional finance world. So it's not just a broker. And so this somewhat disrupts the model of how these things are regulated.
And that actually is very interesting. I think that a lot of people now just probably had a light bulb go off over their head, as I did, when you see that these legislations coming down from DC are talking about broker dealers and how they're trying to put, I guess, this, round peg through a square hole. Wait, no, that actually will fit, a square peg through a round hole. And talking about broker dealers, because of, as you just said, and how that's set up in the traditional markets. And you just said that, hey, you know what? We are all that plus more plus not at the same time. And so what would you say? You know, obviously you know the markets, you know exchanges, you know the laws around this. What do you think the best solution is then for this structure to make sure that your company's you know, thrives through the future, that people's investments are secure and safe, and people have confidence to use this up into the next decades?
I think that there should be two things primarily. So one is there should be a market oversight rule set for crypto exchanges. Both the SEC and CFTC have them. The CFTC one that applies for futures would probably work just fine for spot. These include things like anti-market manipulation, making sure there's not layering and spoofing and wash trading on the exchange. There's general transaction monitoring. These are the kinds of, you know, oversight the CFTC has. I think that would be very useful and would give investors confidence. And separately, there needs to be a listing standard. such that we know very clearly what can and cannot be listed on exchanges, and alongside that, a clear registration process for tokens. I think a lot of token projects out there would happily register with, you know, the SEC or the CFTC or both or neither, if they knew that would get them onto exchanges in a licensed and regulated way. The problem is there's not a clear path right now. You know, doing like an S1 filing and an IPO for a Solana network token doesn't really make sense. There needs to be something else. It's like something more and something less at the same time. So those are the two things I think would be really the best for the market. The market oversight regime that everyone has to adhere to and gets exams on, and then a proper listing standard with the registration process.
Last question. I want to say thank you very much for going through all of this. I think that this is any one of these questions we can go deep diving and unpack it for probably an hour each. But I think this is a very good overview of all of this. The last question is just about the customer, and the customer. You know, there are new people coming into crypto every day with varying levels of the ability to navigate these systems. Is there any kind of foundation or ground basic principles that you would want to give to somebody hopping into FTX.us right now to set up an account, buy some crypto, HODL, and so on and so forth?
Yeah, really good question. I think there's a lot of, discussion on the crypto Twitterverse about, DeFi versus CeFi and not your keys, not your coins and these kinds of things. For the most part, people who want to invest want a broker to take care of their investment. They want someone to hold on to it for them. They want to make sure it's safeguarded. They want to make sure they're going to be able to safely convert that asset back and forth between different ones. They want someone to handle helping them understand their tax liabilities, all of the above, right? And this is the service that exchanges provide. And this is why so much volume happens on exchanges. There's always going to be those very technologically savvy, niche traders who are able to navigate the waters themselves. But I think that crypto exchanges have a bunch of superpowers and responsibilities to customers. So I think those include things like having a safe program for the custody of the digital assets. That includes things like making sure most of the assets on the exchange are in cold storage, thinking about rotating keys and rotating wallets and trying to make sure that there's no, open vulnerabilities. Having good cybersecurity policies and training for their team members, having, a very small attack vector for who can actually have access to the underlying exchange wallets and these sorts of things. I also think that there have to be fair but good incentives for market makers to come and provide liquidity on the exchange. That includes making sure they're not hidden fees and things like this, right? We could probably go on, there's a long list of things that we do to make sure that our customers are having the best experience possible. They're being protected. Those are a lot of things that we choose to do on our own because our incentives align. We want our customers to be happy. We want them to be prosperous. We want them to be safe. That works well for us too, but it's hard to imagine how this industry sustains itself long-term without some very clear rules that everyone has to follow, not just scrupulous players like FTX.
Brett, I want to say thanks for coming on the show and going through that. I think it's great. We should probably do this again and go on a deep dive, allocate a good 40 minutes to really hone in on some of these topics. But until then, Brett Harrison, president of FTX.us, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Decrypt Daily. My name is Matthew Diemer. Don't forget to go to Apple Podcasts. Like, subscribe, share, leave us a comment. You can send me an email, MatthewAaron@decrypt.co. That is Matthew, AARON. If anybody's been trying to email me with ERIN, it's not coming to me. And go to Spotify and click those 5 stars and make sure that everybody knows this is the best damn daily crypto news show on the planet. And until tomorrow, happy hodling, everyone.